This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We cover a lot of things around the Umpqua Valley and beyond. Fire season already over. Rachel Pope, Public Information Officer of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
It seems like fire season, we were rolling along there. We'd had a couple of periods where conditions had gotten hotter and drier. The warnings, the precaution level had gone up. And then we kind of came down, and then we sort of fell off the cliff, if you will, to no fire season kind of quickly.
Yeah, I mean, we experienced that too. Like I have said all summer long, Mother Nature is unpredictable. You don't know what she's going to do, but she pleasantly surprised us to end fire season officially October 10th in our district, and we're thankful for that.
So last week, that was officially last Friday, right?
Yes.
So, and I mentioned this on the year when it happened, my gut feeling was fairly close to right. I figured that the weekend rain would seal it. I figured that it would be like Saturday or Sunday, you guys would be calling fire season. And then Friday morning, this press release hits late in the morning, and that was it.
Yeah, I know individuals thought we were going to end fire season during that rain that we got previous. I believe it was a week before we officially ended fire season, but there was not enough precipitation that we received on the radar, and that green up hadn't quite reached that level that we were comfortable enough with officially ending fire season. But that rains came in and it was substantial and lasted throughout the weekend that allowed us to safely end fire season for 2025.
And a few days later, for the Oregon Department of Forestry in the Southwest District in Jackson and Josephine counties, where it's warmer, hotter, drier, etc., they were just a few days behind you doing the same thing.
Exactly. Now they're out of fire season, and the last district through the state, which was Central Oregon, officially announced that they are going to go out of fire season on the 17th. So once they're out, that means that Oregon as a whole is officially out of fire season. Yay!
So, and I'm sure for you guys, I mean, because there are times as these there's so much unpredictability, I guess is a good way to frame it, that, you know, weather systems come in. Maybe this will result in lightning, which may spark a fire. Maybe it won't. You have to be ready for it. So you guys are kind of in several months of sort of hurry up and move quickly or don't move quickly. And you just kind of roll through it. But when it's all over, you get a nice little break, sort of.
Yeah, this is when we're in our reprieve mode, right? So we're on the go 24/7. We are on call. We are first responders. All of our units are ready to respond to any of those 911 dispatch calls that we get in, or if it's through our dispatch center as well. And so when fire season ends, we pivot from suppression to prevention. And also, this is when our firefighters are starting to take their much needed vacations and time with their family and planning for hunting. So now that we've moved from suppression to prevention, we have launched our fuel mitigation crews that are out there working on some of our FireWise communities, building that defensible space around homes. And this is another way that DFPA ensures that we still have trained and qualified firefighters within the district to respond to fires that may happen outside of the fire season, like the two escape debris burn calls that we called to respond to yesterday.
And that is always something that happens that seems right after fire season. You guys are allowing folks to do the debris burning. People may go out there, do a good job putting that together. But as we saw or heard yesterday, sometimes things take off a little bit.
Exactly. And so when we end fire season, that means that the fire danger level throughout the district is no longer existent as far as the regulations go for fire season under ORS 477. However, that doesn't mean that fire danger does not exist throughout the rest of the year. And so that's why we release warning and precautions out for the citizens and residents of the county to follow and abide by. Are about 50% of our fires that happen outside of fire season are all caused by escape debris burns. And that's so we really want to emphasize the safety to ensure that there's a trail around those fires and to ensure that you're checking weather conditions. Is it going to be windy? Should I burn today if it's going to be windy tomorrow? Heat can remain in the interior of those debris burn piles that you have and reignite when that wind comes through too. Are we going to have a duration of warmer weather? Are the fuels around the area that I am trying to burn, are they dry? Are they susceptible to burning? So even though we don't have those regulations in place, we still ask the public to be mindful and to work accordingly.
So looking at the data, how many fires did we have during fire season this year?
So this year and 2025 fire season throughout the Douglas District, we had a total of 86 fires that burnt 314 acres.
How does that compare to some of the other years?
Last year, we had about 100 fires that burnt over 4,000 acres. Historically, 2024 went down in the state of Oregon as our worst fire season. Douglas County, or us in the Douglas District for DFPA, we had three team fires last year. That was Milepost 98, Devil's Knob, and also the Dixon Fire. We were fighting fires as soon as season started all the way up till the end of fire season. This year we had a lot more reprieve, and you know, comparing that number alone, just the 314 acres this year to 4,000 acres of last year is huge.
And you really didn't have any that got very big.
No, our largest fire was a Dad's Creek fire that was at 145 acres that occurred in the Glendale area, and we were able to handle and suppress and extinguish that fire internally with DFPA in charge of that, which was another success, not having to need a team to come in to help.
So what causes these fires, lightning or people?
The majority of our fires are human caused. This year alone, 80% of the fires were human caused. And when I say human caused, individuals just automatically assume that that's arson. No, it's not arson necessarily. 34 of our human caused fires, which comprises of 50% throughout this past year, were equipment use related. So an example of fires that are started by equipment use can be mowing and dried cured grass outside of those restricted hours that we usually implement with the low, moderate, and high and extreme fire danger levels. And also heat from exhaust. So driving through dried cured grass or anywhere near vegetation that is dried, that heat radiates from your exhaust and then can catch that vegetation on fire.
So you go through from low to moderate to high to extreme. How long were we in each of those?
We were in low for 11 total days, moderate 49 days, high 57 days, and extreme in 10 days. So as we know, when we're in extreme fire danger, that means that it's a complete shutdown for the operations that we restrict. And so to only be at that for 10 days throughout this last season was also successful.
And kind of unusual.
It's kind of unusual. I believe last year we were in extreme for almost 20 days, and we were in IFPL4 for several. This year in 2025, we were 0 days in IFPL4. And for the public to understand, that is our industrial 11 precautional levels that we place on our logging and timber operators. And when we're in IFPL4, that completely shuts down their operations. So to not have to reach that this year was great for all operators and everybody involved.
And now for the folks that you bring on seasonally, then are they wrapping up their time?
Yes. As of Monday, it was the first day that we transitioned over into our winter crews. And so our winter crews are funded through grant funding. I wish we had enough grant funding to employ and keep on everybody that's interested in staying on with DFPA. But winter crews is allocated to our specific fire wardens that are very trained in fighting fires. If we had more funding, we would be able to keep on those first and second years that come on during the summer. So we've transitioned over. A lot of folks have also returned back to college to receive their education and will return back next summer to fight fire with DFPA.
All right, more when we come back. Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. They interview a podcast at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. inside Douglas County. 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, back to Washington, D.C. This time, we'll be talking to Congressman Cliff Bence. Get an update on the federal government shutdown and the latest with his perspective. We had Congresswoman Hoyle on yesterday, so Congressman Cliff Bence on tomorrow. Rachel Pope, though, in the midst of this, to talk about fire season wrapping up with the Douglas Forest Protective Association. And, I mean, for the folks that you bring on during the summer, you mentioned a lot of them, or at least some of them, are, you know, kids. They probably don't like to be called kids that are in college. Do you end up ultimately attracting some people who went into it as, well, this would be a different kind of summer job, and then they get hooked and maybe then or later decide to pursue a career?
Yeah, actually, a lot of individuals that are attracted to work out in the forest are those that are pursuing a forestry degree, natural resource degree. And we like to call it the fire bug and the fire itch. And once you come work in fire and you experience your first fire season on the line and that camaraderie that you build with all the other firefighters that are out there, sometimes nothing else kind of compares. And you get kind of addicted to working in the fire industry. And I know I am at fault of that.
Well, and this year might not be the best example for the fact that things were so quiet.
It was quiet, it was slow, but it was enough for our folks to get out there and still dig line and experience what that was like. We had 17 lightning strikes that caused fire, and I believe it was over a duration of 5 days that we were fighting lightning-caused fires. So that kept everybody on their toes and gave them a good experience to be out there in the woods, too.
So a lot of training and knowing what it's like if you did this long-term.
Exactly. There's training that begins day one when you start, and we onboard those new firefighters, and we have a week-long training session that ends in the field day, and most of the time we're going to have live fire out there too. So not only are they reading about it, not only are they watching videos about it, but they get that hands-on, boots-on-the-ground experience, and that continues throughout all of their fire season.
Now, during the course of the summer months, if I recall correctly, different points you were able to, because it was quieter here, send some folks to help in other places.
Yeah, as we all are aware that when we have team fires, we have firefighters that come in from other areas, even other states, sometimes outside of the country. And when we reach that point that we have the ability to send our firefighters to go help out other communities that are facing evacuations and different large fires, that we take every advantage to not only contribute and help those citizens that are impacted by wildland fires, but it also gives a good opportunity to continue to build training and knowledge skills in our firefighters that we send out. There's different terrain, different topography, even dealing with different stakeholders and different communities that are impacted by wildfires. It just builds the level of experience that our DFPA firefighters can bring back to our county.
So we really didn't have any folks have to come in and help this year from out of state, right?
Exactly. Not at least in our district without having any team fires. We did not have to deal with that. We did bring in additional resources through our State of Jefferson compact, and that is a compact that we have with all of our other neighboring districts throughout the state. That was on the Dad's Creek fire, and folks from CFPA and West Lane, East Lane, South Cascade, even Josephine and Jackson County, Klamath, all came in to help us get that fire out quickly. And again, that's what we do. We reciprocate and return that favor back to our neighboring districts as well.
So now that we are out, people look ahead. We talked about debris burning going over. I mean, we've covered this in news stories, but what people now can do that we are out of fire season that they couldn't do before?
And one of the biggest things that individuals can do now that we're out of fire season is drive on unpaved roads out in the forest. I know that's huge right now, especially for everybody that's deer hunting and getting ready for elk season. We still tell everybody you should carry fire tools on you and maybe a chainsaw if there's any downed trees to clear the roads that you're on. Campfires are allowed now. We still recommend individuals to use portable stoves and stuff like that to cook your food. But if you are using a campfire, make sure that the fire is out and it's drowned and stirred and that there's no more heat emitting from that. And please remember to never leave an open fire unattended. That's when fires can get out and still cause fires.
So for people that are doing debris burning, we've got the story up today about some of the tips for that, because following those or not following those can really make a big difference.
Exactly. First and foremost, check with your local fire department. So DFPA protects 1.6 million acres of the Douglas District. However, we have different areas that fall under your rural fire protection area. So we're going to have like Central Douglas, Roseburg Fire Department, Myrtle Creek, Tri-City. They might have different fire restrictions in place. And just because DFPA lifted fire season doesn't mean that you don't need a permit from them. And it doesn't mean that actual debris burning is allowed in your area. So check with your local fire department to ensure that that's allowed first and foremost. Second, don't burn prohibited materials. Prohibited materials include rubber and plastic products, tires, garbage, petroleum, asphalt, or industrial waste, and any material that creates dense smoke or nauseous odors. And that's what we're talking about when we refer to yard debris. That's supposed to be burning of woody materials. I know people burn boxes from all of their Amazon deliveries, but it's that trash that causes that stinky smell that will irritate your neighbors and they will call in to everybody to report you. So please just don't do it.
I didn't know that you could burn asphalt.
I didn't know either. It's on the list.
Okay.
If you couldn't tell, I was reading a list there.
Wow. And if people are burning, I know that what we've seen at other points along the way is sometimes people, if you've got like a larger property, a few acres or whatever, you've got one big pile, you want to get this done. But sometimes it's better to not have one big debris pile. It's better to have a few small ones.
A large pile is going to, one, take forever. And two, like I had mentioned a little bit earlier, you're going to have that trapped interior heat that you can't really get into. So we always suggest everybody to divide those large debris piles into smaller piles that you can actually control. And then you can get that trail around that pile, and you can churn it after it's done burning and ensure that that interior heat is out. Smaller piles burn quicker also and are easier to control.
And just making sure you've got the tools that you need to deal with the fire and not just put it on autopilot.
Yeah, like we said, don't ever leave a fire unattended. Make sure you have a charged garden water hose or a bucket of water nearby you and a shovel, like I said, to churn up that pile. Also, when burning yard debris, ensure you have a sufficient fire trail around that pile before starting and keep fire tools and water supply nearby at the burn site. Never leave a debris pile unattended and make sure they're fully extinguished before leaving is the exact verbiage that I use for our release.
And like I caught yesterday in one of those cases, I don't remember where it was, but the fire didn't pose a danger to the landowner's house. It was a ways away, but it poses a danger to the neighbor's house.
Exactly. And if you have an escape debris pile and if there are any damages to neighboring properties, you will be liable for, one, suppression costs, and two, any damages that may occur. And so I don't want individuals not to call 911 if a fire gets out. It's best to do that so our rural fire departments can respond and DFPA can respond and get that fire out before it causes any damages or to help individuals. But I want individuals to know that you are liable for those suppression costs if an escape debris burn can cause.
Yeah, and with some of the bigger fires in past years, I mean, this is where it really gets into long-term litigation, and it's your homeowner's insurance, and let's just say it's probably best to avoid all of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a whole mess that nobody actually really wants to deal with, nor do you want your neighbors to just hate you.
Well, there's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You don't want your neighbors to hate you, so just follow the rules here and do it that way. Anything else you want to let people know about DFPA as we wrap up?
I want to mention ash disposal. So ash from a fireplace or a wood stove can also retain enough heat to ignite other combustible materials for several days after fire. It's essential to thoroughly drown and stir ashes from wood stoves and fireplaces in a metal container with a tight-fitting lid or bare soil until no hot embers remain. Once those ashes have completely cooled, then you can dump them in an area free of flammable materials.
All right, and that wraps it up for today and wrapped up fire season a few days ago. Rachel Pope, Douglas Forest Protective Association. You can go take a vacation.
Oh, thanks, Kyle. I appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.